Transaklantikrams.com. Transaklantikrams.com. Transaklantikrams.com.
Welcome to the Transatlantic Rant, episode 7. I'm in heaven.
There you go.
That's terrible.
That is. Can we start that again? Well, you can always delete that bit.
Welcome to the Transatlantic Rant, episode 7.
No, see, that doesn't do anything either. It's like, this is like the Ratner's marketing office, isn't it?
I know.
Are we going to market the Transatlantic Rants?
I'm not going to do that every episode. Or
no?
Maybe I will.
It must be a Canadian thing. Everyone's so happy over there, aren't they? It's like the whole thing around DJs. When they wake you up in the morning and they're so bubbly and you just think, you know what, I just like some guy this way. I went, all right. It's music. That would be it.
That could be a rant in itself. Happy morning, people.
Oh, yeah. There's people on drugs.
Yes. So how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. I'm on holiday tomorrow, so that would be something.
It's on holiday again.
It is. Well, this is I'm actually finally getting a chance to do something and go away. So it is now qualified as a proper holiday.
Yes.
So that's good.
Is it a proper holiday if you go with your parents?
Well, and just to explain to the people out there, because that could be taken in so many different ways. IT person going on holiday with his parents. Wow. Think of that dynamic. No, it's because of our son that we've kind of asked them if they'll come along and sort of assist us while we face the unknown. I mean, the most we've ever gone away with him is an overnight stay for a wedding. So going away for 10 days with him is going to be quite an interesting thing. But to be honest, you have all these apprehensions, don't you, about going away, and you think of how bad something's going to be, and you think of all the worst possible scenarios, and really it's never like that. It's, you just need somewhere you can get nappies.
Well, I think that's the whole defence mechanism of having kids anyway. In a lot of different situations, is if you build it up to be the most horrendous, horrible, worst thing ever, then sometimes it doesn't turn out to be that bad. So
yeah, it should be cool. I think, it'll be right. And how about yourself? How are things in Canada?
Things are fine here. We have rain, which will make you happy. It's finally broken. We've had really humid weather, so finally the rain's broken today. So we'll see how that goes, whether it just cools it down. And my basement smells like a Louisiana swamp. It's been so humid. And I'd like to run my air conditioning most of the time, but my air conditioner, if you go outside, my air conditioner sounds like the scene from Black Hawk Down. It's so loud. It's unbelievable. So I feel bad for my neighbors. I got to replace that. You wouldn't think I worked in the industry, would you?
No. You I wouldn't even think you worked.
Well, you wouldn't think I worked, yeah. Although that's always been an ironic thing, which I've always found strange. I've worked for companies that have always been involved in, environmental control, shall we call it, air conditioning, heating, whatever it may be. And yet every building I've ever worked in has been either absolutely freezing in the summer, roasting hot in the winter. No one can get it right, so
it's
one of those things.
It's air conditioning, and that whole thing in office buildings is a rant in itself. I remember one place I worked that if you sat in one particular seat, you had to wear a jumper because you just used to have the blast of the air conditioning coming down the back of your neck. And I'd make a call through to FM. You'd literally have the Laurel and Hardy brothers come along, or the Chuckle brothers, or whatever, and they would just stand there with this little sort of thermometer on a metal stick, pointing it around the area. And I say, we've actually put tape so you can see the constant flow. Right, we're going to do something about it, and we'll be back later. And that would be it. That's all that would happen with it. They would go off, pretend that they'd dealt with the situation, and then months later, saying it's still getting a blast. I've actually had to move seats, but the person that's here now, they said, right, and they'd come with the thermometer, stick it up in the air. I'd say you can see where it's coming from because there's more tape that I've attached to it to show people where the air's coming from. Right, we'll be back later. And that's it. That's all that happened. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. I always remember hearing a good story about people. You know, there's always a situation in an office where somebody will say, oh, I'm too cold. Oh, I'm too hot. And if there's a thermostat there, then the war of the thermostats starts taking place where one person will sneak it up and then the next person will come back and sneak it down.
Oh, I had that. I used to work in this place called Royalty and Empire, which is this waxwork, Madame Tussauds place. And we were in this confined space. And basically what they did was, and I think it was to create sort of an endearing environment, was to hire people that were basically retired to come and do the tickets with us. So I'm a 16-year-old in this very tight little cubicle with only a few windows in the baking hot sunshine with a woman who was about 90. And she would always, always insist on opening the windows when it was freezing cold and keeping them shut when it was baking hot. And not only keeping them shut when it was baking hot, she used to take off her shoes and spray her feet with Lily of the Valley, or as I used to call it, Death of the Valley, kind of like spray. So I'd just be in there. So I'd say, look, Doris, can you tell her that? And it's the stench of her fucking feet. And this horrible spray that she used to spray. She's just there. She had no, there's no decorum with these old people, is there? Just there, spraying her feet with Valley of Death. So I know, mate. It is. If you're near the window, you want it closed. If you're away from it, you're hot. You want it open. It's, you know, we should all just basically work in tunnels.
You got to respect that a little bit, though, because you can sort of see as you get older, the less sort of, you know, who's this 16-year-old? I don't care. I'm going to spray my feet with Death of the Valley.
Yeah, exactly. I was just a young whippersnapper. Who cares?
Okay, but I just want to quickly run on to a couple of things. First of all, the audio last week was pretty poor. You had a bit of an echo going on the back. I think that was on my end. The levels weren't that great. I had some feedback. I just want to say thanks to a guy, the daddy from Veteran Gamers. He gave me some feedback on the audio. So we're going to try something new, hopefully next week or the week after, a new way of recording. But we are working on it. So thanks to him for some of the advice. Now we're going to run through your agenda, really, is what we're seeing today.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, it's.
You can start a rant on my population if you like.
Yeah, I can. I think the listeners out there, if you ever go onto the website, www.transatlanticrants.com, you can probably see on the jellycast there that I literally put up statements of my annoyance with Fraser and his lack of organisational skills. So the agenda today will be, and it's a very hot topic, and it's a technical topic, and it's around Apple versus Samsung. So we'll have a rant about that. And we'll have a good rant about the whole thing about Apple. And then we're talking about cats.
And we'll close up the show.
This will probably last over about 8 podcasts, that whole thing about Apple. We might get an opportunity to discuss cats destroying the world. There's a virus going around that people are very concerned that cats are destroying it. And we can discuss the cats kind of versus dogs kind of like thing. Are cats just evil? I can come from both sides of the argument, having cats, and Fraser's has been brought up with dogs, so you can come from a dog angle.
And I'm allergic to cats too.
They are evil. Then I suppose we're going to be looking at Halo and the weight, really. Just a quick discussion about that. But entwined into that is, I suppose, how Halo sort of set a precedent for roaming anywhere you liked. I'm a first-person shooter. I just love going around and shooting things in the head. That probably shows you some psychological issues there, but I do. And I want to talk about first-person shooters and how they guide you and the lack of freedom in those environments. It's all kind of clamped down.
Okay. So,
and then we'll discuss Headhunters, which is a Nordic film, and it's probably going to put some people off if you're a bit ignorant and a bit of a peasant and you don't like subtitles. But hopefully, if you do like subtitles, you should see it.
I love subtitles.
Anyway, so shall I kick off then with Apple?
All right, yeah, okay, let's get going.
Let's get cracking, because people might be listening to on a train, our one listener might be listening to on a train and thinking, well, you know, get on with the meat of the pie. So, Apple. Now, the background of this is, as anyone who's been reading the news recently, is that Apple have taken Samsung to court in some fairly substantial lawsuits over what they see as infringements on their copyrights. And if you followed it, you can hear in the States that they were awarded $1 billion payout from Samsung. If you've also been following it in other countries, in South Korea, Samsung won, and they won £13,000, which is a slight difference.
Hey, every little helps.
Everything does. It's probably going somewhere. But I think what we need to get to is we now need to say, Apple, you started off being like your kind of pseudo hippies because you weren't doing very well. And it's a little bit like when you're, I'm going to compare this to being a student. Okay, go with me on this. When you're a student and you've got no money, you're left wing and you think everything's unfair and that all of these other bigger companies are all evil. And Apple did the same thing with IBM and with Microsoft, saying that they thought that all of these bigger like companies were evil and all the rest of it. And they were just this, they were trying to create, I suppose, this environment where, a little bit like Pixar, where they sort of say, well, we're all nice and cuddly and lovable, but really you're a corporation. And as soon as you have corporation and you have over, I'd say, probably about 10 people working for you, then you start to become evil because you start to become big and you start to think that you're powerful and all-encompassing.
Yeah, well, that's true. Google, yep. Same things happened to Google. I think Google's suddenly turning into the, all the ideals that they had are suddenly sort of slipping, not thrown out the window, but slipping away slowly as they have to sort of claw for the market share of whatever it is that they're involved in, you know, and they have to be aggressive.
Well, one of their things, wasn't it, in their kind of mission statements is we will not be evil. Actually, that was one of those things for Google. And as you said, as soon as it, you know, becomes more competitive, as soon as there's people's jobs online, as soon as there's share prices dropping, companies just inherently become evil. And there's no way around it. Now, any legal people out there, it's our personal opinion, okay? Our personal opinion that we think they're evil. So you do have to cover that off.
But Jeremy owns this podcast, so you should speak to him first.
Yeah. But I don't have any money, so I could probably give you my dogs if you wanted to take them. This is the other thing that I find hilarious. There's going to be so many points around this, but people can do write in if you are an Apple person. I am. I hate to say I am somebody who uses Apple products. I do have an iPad. I do have an iPhone. I do have an iPod.
I know.
I couldn't help it. I was brought in. There's a whole thing. I'm jumping back and forth. But there's so much. It's literally like being a kid at Christmas. There's so many parcels to open to talk about Apple. I don't really know where to start. But
you betrayed us. I don't have an iPod. I bought I had to buy an MP3 player the other day because I'm doing some traveling. I didn't buy an iPod. I bought a Sansa, which seems to be excellent. I have a BlackBerry. I don't have an iPod. Woo, Canada. Blackberry's going down the pan anyway.
Oh, mate. The only thing that I think are good about those is when you see a kid on a train and they are tapping away with the kind of dexterity of a mouse with a nut. Honestly, they're tapping away, and I just think, you know what, I just prefer my preemptive iPhone, stick it in there. And I think as you get older, Apple products become more relevant to you because you can't be arsed with things crashing or faffing about. And people are going to say, PCs are more stable. Windows 7, yeah, use Windows Vista, right? Windows Vista is shit. And the amount of times that has crashed and not worked on anything that I've tried to do is countless times. But
okay, so you're saying, okay, so Apple have good products.
They do.
Very expensive products.
They do. They are very expensive, but they kind of work. And I think that it's a little bit like buying Bosch stuff that I buy. Things work. And I've got to that point in my life where I just want things to work. And I want things to be sort of straightforward. And I don't want 1,500 ways of having to do something. But on the other side of the coin, I can't fucking abide this whole worshipping of Apple. This whole kind of like queuing outside till dawn to go and buy some bit of plastic shit that you're going to just, you know, the stuff that I've got, I use it now and again, but I'm not going to sit there and worship it. I'm not going to queue up. for 3 days in a tent to buy this stuff. You know, I'm just going to sort of like turn up a couple of months later when the thing's a bit more stable and they patched up a bit and just go, all right, yeah, there we go. How much is it? All right. Or when the price has come down or when it's like in its next generation. But this is kind of like they've created this wonderful marketing environment, which is completely evil as well, where they make people think that their lives will not be fulfilled unless they have something from Apple. You know? I just wanted a 160 gig thing that I could put on my music on that works. And the other thing that they've done, which is a little bit what Sony did, which is they made their stuff only compatible with certain things. So you literally are forced down the line of having to have their products because, you know, it works with a certain like docking thing. So if you've ever bought a radio, it's always got the iPhone docker in it for some reason. It doesn't have any other sort of
capability. Because there's just so many, you know, iPods out there. But I'll back you up on that. I have an MP3 player here. It's a Sony one. It's excellent quality. You know, holds a ton of stuff. It's beautiful to look at. It's got a great case. You know, it's real. It's a nice object of desire. But the software interface that I have to use and the way that it works is so awful that I
is that that sound Sonic or something or other Sonic something.
It's Sony Open something, I think it is. I can't remember. You know, you can't
because it's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, it's just awful. You know, whereas the new one that I bought was just simply, you know, there's my MP3, drag it into the player and it's done. You know, it's this sort of DRM, rights management, you know, copyright worries. Ugh, you know, just make a piece of stuff that works, please.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and on that score, I think that Apple went back to the drawing board and they came out with their little shuffle. And it was just literally stop, forward, back, or whatever, you know, very simple interface, very sort of like clean thing, linked in with iTunes. It was all just very clean cut. However, because we digress a little bit from the point of the conversation, but these pseudo hippies who started off nice, then went evil. And Steve Jobs, as much as people laud him, and I have to say, one thing I liked about him was that he insisted on decent QA of their products, and it wouldn't go out the door until it was absolutely, you know, the thing was working. I tried it in the various different environments and the rest of it. That I admire that, but $1 billion lawsuit against Samsung? $1 billion? These lawyers just think, oh, what should we go for this time? I don't know. This person's got, you know, this person. It's like when you hear about lawsuits about people that are your average Joes, and they're in a multi-million. It's like, where are you thinking this money's going to come from? Where on earth is this money? They're going to be paying for the rest of their lives, are they? How are they going to pay off all this money you're going to try and serve for? And the thing with the Samsung thing is if you do have a look, yes, they do look similar, and it would take a very brave person to argue that the phones don't look literally pretty much identical. But as someone said, did someone patent the steering wheel? No, they didn't. For a technology to advance, you've got to create a level playing field and allow people's technology to develop at the same time. Not say, oh, actually, it's all ours. We've done a touch screen. Because you didn't,
yeah.
Apple.
Yeah, no, well, that's I was just going to say the same thing. You know, it's not conducive to us progressing. You know, competition is good. It's always good. If you own a bar, you know, in a street with no other bars, yes, you're the only bar. But, you know, if you have another street, another bar opens down the street, you shouldn't look upon that as a threat. You know, it's good. You know, when you want to compete, it's something that's going to help you make yourself better. And overall, you'll get more people into the street anyway. But, yeah, the steering wheel is a good, you know, where does it stop? And how do you continually patent every piece of software, you know, or every little trick or everything? I mean, it's just, it's going to be never ending,
and that's the thing.
The only people who are going to win are the lawyers.
Exactly. You know, I think that in all of this sort of like angle, I think Apple have probably come to the end of the road with their products. I.e., they kind of like brought out the iPhone, and then they thought, shit, what should we do? Let's bring out the iPad and pretend that no one else has brought out a tablet before. And make ours as though it's the first dynamic thing to come through. Because Apple, if you remember, you didn't. And there were other companies that brought out tablets far earlier than you did. You just basically took the iPhone and you just made it a lot bigger. Stuck, you know, just made the whole screen a lot bigger and the whole thing. Do I use my iPad a lot? No, not really. Does it look as good as on the adverts where you see the globe and all these wonderful graphics? No, it's just easy. You just switch it on. You do emails. That's what I like about that stuff. You switch it on, straight in, away you go.
Yeah.
But I think that they feel very threatened by the fact that if there are other people along with them, they haven't got all the ideas anymore. Someone's going to come along and take them out. But everything
that's a natural cycle, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, there's always going to have to be the big player who then, you know, dies down a bit and then perhaps reinvents himself and come back with something else. You know.
Yep. So are they really evil?
Well, I think they are, because what I don't like about them is they sort of try to come. They're so smug as well, aren't they? All their marketing is such smug shit. It's like, if you don't have an iPhone, then you don't have an iPhone. It's like, well, what? One of their adverts they had. It's like, it's basically saying, if you don't have something that looks like ours, it's not actually an iPhone. It's like, well, so? What's wrong with the Samsung? In fact, a lot of people, and there's a big, big lot of group of this, they're actually saying that the Samsung phone is better than the iPhone. That the facilities and other stuff are. So, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like Apple people,
well,
really.
It's quite,
I just think
in a sort of reverse type way, it's almost, you know, it's almost a fantastic advert for Samsung. If you're getting sued, but, you know, to that extent by Apple, Apple obviously perceive you as a threat, so you must have a decent product.
Yeah. So, well, the strange thing was that Samsung were making the chips for Apple for a long time, so they had a partnership with technology, which obviously Apple are quite prepared, I think, to obviously destroy by going down this line. I don't know. Mm. Perhaps it was Steve Jobs' last kind of like things to basically say on his deathbed, make sure you sue Samsung.
Well, they're pretty much one of the biggest companies in the world now. I mean, it's just, you know, you're not steering a ship and you can sort of say to everyone on the ship, this is how we operate. You're gone. Those days are gone. You know, it's a tanker now, isn't it? You know, it's just...
Well, it is. I mean, a fifth of South Korea's output is through Samsung. Their biggest sort of like product and export is their Samsung market. It's an enormous part of their you know, what finances their environment, you know, their country and everything else. There's jobs and all sorts reliant on that.
Yep.
And well, Apple, yeah, you're
big
evil.
Company, good products. So I like Samsung. I got a few Samsung products. TV's great.
I've got a TV. It's great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But let's just say that anybody that believes that corporations aren't inherently evil, they are. They start off with the best intentions and they can't help themselves but go evil. And Apple, just to conclude, in my personal opinion, I think that you have gone evil. Okay. And you need to cease and desist.
Yep. Okay. Are Apple really evil? Panel says
send
yes.
Send us an email.
Myth confirmed. Commenzo Del Monte, he said yes.
Yep. Okay. I agree with you on that one. So, okay. So what do we, what's next?
Cats.
Okay.
Give us a rant about cats, because obviously, you know, you don't like them and you're allergic to them.
Well, I'm allergic to cats. I mean, you know, personally, a cat, you know, I can understand the appeal of a cat or whatever. It's just probably, you know, the one thing that just annoys me about cats more than anything is just this free roaming, you know, no responsibility. Put it outside the back door. You know, it's almost like...
This hobo thing.
Yeah, it's just like having a tethered wild animal, isn't it? You know, it's sort of this faux sort of, yeah, this is my pet and I'm in control of it. But there's no control over a cat, really, you know. You know, people complain about, you know, cats shouldn't be, you know, house cats. You know, they shouldn't be confined to the house. But, you know, there's a problem with cats and that, you know, I can go out my back door and there's somebody else's cats just sort of standing at the back looking at me, you know, digging through my garden or whatever. You know, there's... I don't know. That just bugs me.
I do agree. I think people work under the very naive notion that it is a pet. It's not. It's basically a wandering wild thing that allows you a certain amount of affection when it wants something, and then it has no interest. I.e., if your bed is the warmest sort of like bed, it will come and sleep. You then work under this naive notion that somehow it's because of you. It's not. A cat does everything for its own personal self-interest. You don't get cats saving lives. You don't get cats. I mean, can you imagine blind people being led by cats? If we had a situation,
I think
can you imagine the chaos
out of this? Bring in the police cats.
Exactly. They would not give a shit. They'd just be there licking their balls when they'd be asked to get on a conveyor belt and find some drugs. They'd just be like, what? They'd be asleep in the luggage. They wouldn't actually be doing anything with the luggage, you know. The other thing is that, and this is the bane of my life, is they just, they shit elsewhere. It's almost like the selling point that people have of cats. Like, they don't mess in the garden. You say, well, where do you think they're going? They're going in someone else's garden and messing, aren't they? That's what they're doing. Yeah. They're digging a nice big hole, putting a poo in it. There's no covering up the poo. That's what I don't understand about cats, is that they dig the hole, they put the poo in it, and then there's no coverage. What's that about? So, you know, it's like the last stage, they can't, yeah, I can't be arsed in it.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say that we had a cat called Ozzy, and he basically kept running off and going down to this granny's place, and my mum would go looking for him, and she'd think, is he at the granny's place again? And she'd go to the granny's place and say, oh, can we have our cat back and get Ozzy back? And then the next week he'd be down there. And this woman was feeding him chicken chunks and stuff, and he just decided, I'm getting a better offer. There's no loyalty. I'm getting a better offer. I'm just going to fuck off. You know, so don't be coming to get me. So in the end, she had him. That was it. Ozzy went and left. So we didn't have him. And anyway, so in the news, there's been a couple of stories. News about cats, and literally they're decimating bird populations over here. A lot of people probably think birds are a bit strange, and why does anybody bother with birds? But they are an important aspect, obviously, of wildlife and all the rest of it. And basically, cats are, because of the amount of domestic cats we have, they kill en masse. And then from that, there is actually a disease that's going around now that's got the healthcare professionals and everyone else worried, that cats are transferring a kind of flu-like symptom to humans. And they're saying that it's quite a strong one, and whether they'll have the ability to sort of counteract it. Now, these stories always come round. I don't know if you follow like various things in the UK, but we're kind of obsessed with illnesses and plagues. It's probably going back to the Black Death and all the rest of it. That we're worried that there's going to be this big thing that's going to suddenly wipe whole populations out and all the rest of it.
Well, I've been reading about plagues recently. I've been reading a book about rats. And, there've been, the plague isn't gone, and there's been instances of plagues, in the last 100 years. You know, New York had a problem with immigrants coming into New York at the turn of the century. When I say turn of the century, I mean the turn of the century before. And hired people professionally to keep watch on rats coming from ships San Francisco in the 1910s, I think it was, kept a plague. There was a plague that erupted in the Chinese community, and they did everything they could to just deny it and keep it under wraps. So the possibilities are there, for sure. They had a real problem. They had some major worries when the Twin Towers went down, because the rat populations just went, there is nobody to keep anything in check while all the rats ran around the devastation of the trade centers, where there were hundreds of restaurants, hundreds of dwellings or whatever that were suddenly full of food, but no one in there, so they...
Well, what are the cats doing about this?
Well, there were no, I don't know, but the rats were having a field day. So they had to...
And that's the thing, they're just picky. They're not going for rats, are they? They're going for the easy option, which is the nice little blue tit. Or the robin, or the blackbird, or something like that.
Well, I think the cats are getting called out here because these rats, from snout to bum, not snout to tail, these rats can get up to like over a foot long. The cats aren't going to mess with those.
Nah.
These rats are hardcore.
You need a rustle.
Well, this is it. Then you need a dog.
You do. You need a good rustle in there. Have you ever seen when Jet Russells? Have you ever seen? And it's not a nice scene, but when they get rats, they shake their heads back and forth and break the neck. It's like a natural thing. So if you ever see little Jack Russell's playing or any terrier, this is an interesting fact here for people out there. Terriers are probably one of the most aggressive dogs that you can get, because they were bred to be instant killers. Whereas everyone keeps going on about Dobermans and Rottweilers or whatever, is actually your humble terrier has been genetically engineered to be a ratter and therefore quite a systematic killing machine that you have. This kind of little thing, because they get in there, break necks, toss it behind them, grab the next one, break its neck. There's a scene where this was going on. There's literally a farmer goes, right, if you just lift up that barrel over there, like, lift it up, and all these rats just came out, and he had the two of the roughest looking rustles you ever got, and these little things ran in there, grabbed rats, twisting around, breaking their necks, twisting around. He goes, RC, when they go in there quick, because if they're bitten, the fucklers realise, and so they get more aggressive, and so you can hear all this squealing and all the rest. Honestly, mate, it was a massacre of rats, probably about 30 rats, and the rustles just went in there in about 5 minutes and decimated the whole lot.
Well, you go, they had in this book, they were talking about the rat, with the ratting pits or whatever in New York, you know, where people would bring in their dogs and they'd release, you know, the dog amongst, however many rats, you know, and which dogs were held up in high regard. Or, you know, they talk about some guy in his office, he's got this stuffed dog behind him, you know, that dog was the best dog ever, you know, killed 180 rats in 14 minutes, you know. Yeah, I can believe it.
And that's why, generally, that people need to realise is that your dog is your loyal, ratting, guide for the blind, sniffs out, drugs. Well, that's probably not always a great thing for some people, if that's your persuasion. that can work either way as a selling point.
Yeah, if you've lost, well, allegedly, you know, I don't know.
What are you saying?
Let's not go there.
So, and there's also a thing where they're now using dogs as a kind of like thing for autistic children. You know, that dogs, because there's children that have problems, I suppose, relating with human interaction, actually work well in the animal sort of like side of working with dogs. So,
yeah, I can see that. My mum used to. My mum parents have always had Labradors, and my mum used to take her Labrador to old people's homes, you know, and the dog was registered as a particular type of dog for, therapy for old people. You know, she'd take them to the old people's homes, they get to spend time with the dog, and it was, you know, perceived as being therapeutic for them. So, there's something in that. You couldn't do that with a cat.
No, there isn't. I remember talking to a plasterer, and he saw our Russells, and he was saying that a mate of his is in the extermination business. They send in, they used to send in their dogs if they had a problem with a rat in a house, and the dogs did a fantastic job. Unfortunately, the health and safety experts came in, and they decided that having dogs running around people's homes was a health and safety issue, so that the dogs got banned.
Yeah.
And so he said that this guy who you know, it was a vermin exterminator, had been putting bait down for this rat, and the woman kept saying, the rat is still around, it's not taking the bait, it's not doing anything, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, look, I've got my dog in the car, and I'm not allowed to use him normally, but if you let me, I'll bring him in, and I tell you, he will get that rat for you. So she ummed and ahed, she was a little old granny. She said, well, if that's possible, if you can. He said, I promise you, he will come in, he'll find that rat, he'll break his neck, and it'll be job over, and we can remove all of the poison and everything else, and it'll be job done. So she said, okay. So bloke goes into his car, gets out his little woolly Russell, dog comes in, walks straight into the lounge, does a massive shit on the carpet, runs back out, and goes back into the car. And the bloke is looking around, and she goes, is that what they normally do before they catch a rat? And he said, that's normally what, he said, that's what happens. He says, he's just got to get an empty stomach, because obviously, you know, he's thinking of the food. So he had to go and drag out this dog, and he was dragging this dog around, he said, to all the different rooms. The dog just was not interested, because basically it hadn't caught a rat. They hadn't been able to use it for years. So it had been completely out of practice of rat catching. But the thing is I was laughing so much about the dog shitting on the carpet that when he was telling me the rest of the story, I never actually found out if the dog ever got the rat.
Well, let's assume not. That would be the funnier ending.
So anyway, so this is the thing. I mean, if you are going to get an animal and you have been umming and ahhing about it, I highly recommend, and it is a big responsibility out there, guys, but if you ever thought about getting a rescue dog, should, and not a cat, because you think cats are easy and they're not.
Yeah, we'd like to get a dog. I'd love to have a dog, but it's just I can't commit to the amount of work. We could do it, but we're just, you know, it just wouldn't be fair on the me.
I don't want to go out there in the rain with him. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
It just wouldn't be fair on my wife to have to do all that work.
Yes. Oh, crap. Okay.
Cats are evil.
I think we can say that corporation cats are evil. Yes.
If Apple was run by an animal, it would be a cat.
It would be. In fact, there's a certain feline quality to Steve Jobs, isn't there? If you look at that. Kind of like
these days.
No. Oh, we're going to get struck down by lightning.
Oh, probably.
Bring it on.
All right.
Cool.
After you, sir.
Sorry, no, mate. No, I'm talking far too much. I know that probably Darren or any of the other guys are going to go, all he does is talk. Shut up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's your job. It's okay.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to be about.
Okay, well, you had on... okay, you can combine these two. You were going to talk about Halo 4 and also about first-person shooters not being very innovative.
Yes.
I suppose a quick word, Halo 4 is on the way. That's coming out in November, I think, first or second week in November. I'm excited about that. But it's typically around about that time of year. I'm either going to get a Call of Duty or there's going to be a new Halo. So I'll start to get on the bandwagon, get hyped about that, go buy it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Halo brand has been incredibly consistent. I don't think their little spin-off stuff has been great, if I'm honest. But, you know, it's still a big market out there for the game, and it's good. But I think with Halo 4, that it is a title that you do want to buy. You know, it is up there with something. So I suppose it's like with Mario Kart or something like that. It's one of those titles where you think, oh, God, there's no one coming out. And then somehow with the Mario Karts, I've always sort of got them and thought, you know, and then whereas you were obsessively playing Mario Kart, now it's kind of like, oh, you're making it too gimmicky. When you had it on the SNES, you kept it nice and simple. You got to know the tracks backwards so you could get those times. You could even over-ghost your times, couldn't you? And you'd do stuff that you thought, you know, you just learnt little tricks and stuff without having to have the whole plethora of everything, you know, every little, like, upgrade and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it was good. It was a different time, though. I mean... You know, we all sat around. The great thing about Mario Kart back on the SNES or the N64 back those is when you played multiplayer, the four of you, or, you know, however many it was, were sat in the room together, and it was a real good laugh. You know, now if you play Mario Kart, chances are you're not going to be playing anyone in the same room, you know.
You're going to be playing a 14-year-old who's just going to whoop you every time.
Yeah, you know, and we didn't have games like Halo, you know, first-person shooters back then, you know, not in the SNES anyway. You know, GoldenEye came out for the N64, and that was great. But, you know, if you go back and play, you can have the rose-tinted spectacles for GoldenEye, but it doesn't hold up these days if you go back and play it.
No.
But it was good when it came out. It was innovative, and, you know, it's kick-started a lot of stuff for, you know, for that genre.
It did, and I think, you know, with the problem that you have now with the first-person shooter, and to be honest, I'm seeing this more and more in the various different games I play. So you sort of, obviously with Call of Duty games, you know, you can move about, but you are being guided. And when I'm going to compare this to the IKEA experience, okay? So if you have a first-person shooter and you have and you've gone to IKEA, it's literally you enter the door and then you have to follow the same route, and you're not allowed to go off that route. It's guiding you on the route, i.e. you can't just like go off and just go and like do some sort of like submission or something or other. You have to follow the route. And I find that very frustrating. Halo 4 I'm looking forward to, because you could go anywhere. You could go and sometimes get up a cliff top if you could be asked to find out the different rock jumps that you could do and just sit up there and just shoot things in the head, if that is your fancy. But I'm just finding now with a lot of these games is that you're just guided the whole time. There's no breaking away from it, and it's literally it's pushing you along that track, and it's got to stop that. You've got to have a more open world environment.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you have to look around and see what's out there, you know. But I agree. I mean, I'm looking forward to Halo 4. I enjoyed Halo 3. It was an excellent game. Saying that, in between as well, you said, you know, you're not too sure about what they've done in between. I really enjoyed Halo ODST. I thought it was, you know, quite different. I thought the story was interesting. Still the same sort of Halo stuff. But it was done well. Halo Reach, I didn't really enjoy that much. I thought it was pretty boring. It'll be interesting to see what new things they bring to Halo 4. You know, again, that one of the things with Halo, obviously, is going to be the multiplayer. And I think they have some new stuff that they're doing for that. I was watching a video with the new version of Griffball. I don't know if you ever played that. That looks pretty good. But, you know, again, that's a whole different animal when you're playing, you know, the multiplayers. You know, so you're mainly talking about the campaigns, but we shall see. So will you be getting Halo 4?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it's kind of one of those sort of must purchases, isn't it? You know, it's one of those ones that you sort of, you don't really want to leave too late to getting it, because I think, and anyone who's played in the sort of like the online environments, is that if you start playing it 6 months later, it's like a tumbleweed's going across the ground and there's no one in it apart from some kid who's probably fat and bloated, a little bit, I can imagine, like a Cartman kind of like guy, who knows all of the areas to know you from. And that's the other thing I used to find as well with some of these shooters, and it's again going back to the granddad law, is that they should look at your birth date on when you sign in and go, do you know what, we're going to put you in probably the Elder Statesman experience rather than the going in there, getting shot within 5 seconds, waiting to sort of respawn somewhere where someone's just waiting because they know that's where you respawn and then shoot you in the head. Or you get these instances where you haven't got to the, you know, you're basically a private and they won't allow you into the groups to play because you're too junior. I.e., they know they're going to shoot you straight in the head and that you're not going to be a decent bit of, you know,
competition. Yeah, one of the things with that, I think there's two, I'll be picking the Halo 4 up, I think, you know, as much as it pains me to go out and pay full price for a game, you know, one, there's going to be the excitement for the launch, which I'll get behind, which is always, you know, nerdy but fun.
Yeah.
And you know, second of all, there will be a lot of people on my friends lists who will be playing that, so I can get into games with people that I know, and that's fun. It's exactly like you say. If you start going into game, like if I was to go and play Modern Warfare 3 now, which I still, you know, if I go play with my friends, it's fun. If I go play with people now, I don't play it enough. I'm not bad at it, but I don't play it enough. That if I go on now, I'm just going to get murdered, right? You know, I went and played Halo the other day in a random match. I got absolutely tamed. You know, it was embarrassing. You know, and I don't want to grind away to get myself to a level because I just, that's too stressful. I just haven't got the energy now to put in hours and hours and hours to be good at it. When I sit down, I'd rather have fun rather than be focused and, you know, aggressive.
Well, I think this is an important point, mate, is that, and this is quite a sad sort of thing, but I'm a guitarist and I read a guitarist magazine and they're always talking about all of the guitars from thousands of pounds of equipment, all the effects and play like Hendrix, play like Joe Satriani or whatever. And they have all these tablatures in the back. And everyone's talking about their guitar setup. And there was just one story from this guy, and he wrote in and said, I'm a guitarist, but you probably wouldn't call me one. I know a couple of chords. I'd like to be a lot better. I can play Smoke on the Water, but I struggle with other stuff. And I have to admit that I'm one of your amateurs. I'm never going to be any better. I've had lessons. I don't seem to be able to progress past a certain level of capability on the guitar. And I just want you to know that could you try and gear your magazine towards me? And then he wrote in the next paragraph, he said, I know I'm going to get a lot of stick from people saying, oh, we shouldn't be gearing it to people who can't play or whatever. He said, but I love the instrument, but I can't play. And I was expecting him to get an enormous backlash from all of these people that, you know, these kind of, you know, sitting in a desk writing their kind of trolling emails, the rest of it. But thousands of men wrote in.
They all come out of the woodwork.
They came out of the woodwork and said it was almost like a cathartic experience for someone to actually have the balls to say that they weren't very good and actually admit that they weren't, but they loved reading the magazine and finding out stuff, but, you know. And everyone kind of got behind him. And it's the same in the gaming community. I love the gaming community, but I'm not someone like, you know, these guys you see on these tournaments. I'm not like that. I plod along, I get shot, I get back up again, I do such and such, you know, but I still enjoy it. But I'm never going to be that kind of like standard. And to be honest, I don't really want to. If you don't have a life and you're spending your whole time there in front of a screen until you get epilepsy, then that's you're a bit tragic, and you've got to go and discover a football or a bit of sport. Okay. But on the same turn of that, you need to start gauging it that you have a wide spectrum of standards and abilities in these things.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I play online with my cousin quite a lot, and we'll play Gears of War 3, Halo, Call of Duty, whatever it may be. And it's, you know, we get thrown into these sort of team deathmatch games or whatever. And we'll, at the end of every round, we just look at each other and see which of us hasn't come bottom, you know. But even just having one person in there, you know, who's a friend, is fun. You know, makes it more fun. If I was in there on my own, coming last or second last every time, it just, you know, it starts to grade after a while. So,
I think that's where we've also been spoiled as well, mate. There are so many games out there now where you can go online and you can fight. That whereas in the original Halo, you kind of knew the places to go to. You played it enough to know where certain locations were good, where you could get the Jeep from, where, you know, there was a good bit where you could sort of hold out and just be shooting people in the head. You knew that stuff. But now you get more and more maps, more and more people playing, and that you're just bored, and therefore you don't know the areas. You just get these kind of pro map players who come in, you know, haven't got a girlfriend, probably got acne, sitting around scratching their nuts, playing it religiously, waiting to nail you at every turn. And I don't even have the headphones on anymore, mate, when I play these sort of things. I have to go in there in silence because I don't want the ripping that's going to happen from these little ratters that are out there.
Well, yeah, and, you know, that's what the other thing, you know, let's get on board on, you know, get on board it quickly when nobody knows the maps. Everyone's running around, you know, not knowing what they're doing. So,
yeah.
But it'll be good. Yeah, so we'll see you online for that, hopefully. That'll be good.
Cool.
Yep.
So the next bit, I suppose, yeah, so we're looking forward to Halo. I suppose the next bit is Headhunters.
Yes.
The Nordic film.
Yes.
What are your thoughts, mate?
Well, yeah, so this Headhunters, this was a film, Swedish film, I think 2011, which you just happened in passing to told me to go and watch. And I'd just like to say, I thought that was really good. You know, we sat down yesterday, my wife and I, to watch a movie. We didn't know what we were going to watch, you know, and we spent, you know, however long going through Netflix trying to find a movie that we wanted to watch, you know, and you just can't make a decision. It's very refreshing to have someone say, here you go, watch this, which you did. So, okay, all right, I'm going to grab it. Didn't read anything about it, didn't know anything about it, put it on, and we really enjoyed it. You know, it was very, very refreshing to watch something, A, that wasn't English or American, and it was good, had an interesting story. It was a little bit weird, but...
Yes.
Shall we... Yeah, so... Can I talk about the plot? I
guess. Of course, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically it centers around a young guy, youngish guy, who's a headhunter, one of the top headhunters in his field or whatever, but lives absolutely beyond his means, has a massive sort of glitzy house, a massive glitzy wife who he buys all this stuff for, but he can't afford any of it. So in his spare time, he speaks to people and finds out that when they're not going to be in, and goes and steals artwork from their house.
Something we all do.
Something we all do in our spare time. And then he gets another whiff of another guy who has a fantastic painting in his possession. And he's also trying to find this guy a job. And then he goes to try and steal this, or he goes and steals the artwork from this guy's house. But what actually ends up happening is this guy is using him as a means to get into this other company, and the artwork is a fabrication, but because the guy finds he's sleeping with his wife or whatever. He doesn't. I mean, it just goes. It just suddenly just twists and turns all over the place. And suddenly he's on the run from this guy, fighting, you know, trying to survive.
He's basically picked the wrong man to sort of fuck with, hasn't he?
Well, he ends up being a psycho, right?
You know, yeah.
Some sort of psycho military guy. And then it just goes a bit off the rails, which is good. And it was very entertaining.
Well, that's what I love. I love the fact, if you've ever seen the film Drive, and that's an American film, but I love the fact that not much is going on, or you think, oh, what's going on, and then it suddenly goes nuts. It's almost as like you've just been having a nice summer's day, and then your son goes and boots a wasp's nest, and all sorts of shit happens, and you're like, right, you know, it's kind of like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I didn't like Drive.
Some people don't. People probably thought it was a bit too stylized, or, you know.
Yeah, I found it a little bit boring, sorry to say. And I found it too stylized. That's a very good word to use. I thought it was a little bit up its own arse.
That's fair enough. You could see there was heavy, heavy influence from Miami Vice kind of like thing, and, you know, those overhead shots of the city and the car going through, and, yeah. But it's not everyone's cup of tea.
But Headhunters was good. It was shot. I thought it was the characters were very good, engaging. The actors were very good. I actually recognized, you know, Klaus, the guy who's
guy.
I recognized him. Anybody who's watched Game of Thrones, he plays Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones, and you would never have known he's Danish in that. So yeah, he's good. It was good. Very impressed.
He's also in a film called Max Manners, Man of War.
I read about. Well, is Klaus in that, or the lead guy from Headhunters?
The lead guy in Headhunters is in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
The guy who's the headhunter.
Yeah, he's in Max Manners, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen Max Manners, you have to see it out there, listeners, because the cover is horrendous. It really is. I mean, whoever did the marketing on that needs to be basically go to Apple and wonder how they can become evil. But if you haven't seen it, it's worth a viewing. It's one of those films that's charming but twisty.
Yeah. So I got to ask, how are you getting? You've sent me another recommendation for another film, Cell 211.
Yes.
How are you getting into all these foreign films?
Well, I had two subscriptions, and it was Love Film and Netflix. And Netflix is good if you just want to watch some American shit and some other bits and pieces. And I'll be honest with you, Netflix doesn't have that much on it. It's got a nice interface, much better than I think Love Film's interface for finding stuff or getting interesting bits and pieces. But lovefilm.com, and you can see it on your PlayStation and probably on your Xbox as well, has thousands of foreign films. It's basically because I don't think they can afford to get any. And sorry, guys, but I don't think you get all the big blockbusters. You get all these sort of independent films. And on there, they have loads, mate.
Right. Loads, yeah, we don't have Love Film over here. We have Netflix. I think there's Apple TV.
You can subscribe to it for your PlayStation, though.
I don't think we can. Not
oh, you know, it hasn't.
Canada. There's a real big problem with rights and licenses for different films. So we have some films are on Netflix here. You won't have them on your Netflix. There's a lot of stuff on our Netflix. I mean, the American Netflix has got a massive catalog. Our Canadian Netflix is tiny in comparison. But I always found with Netflix, which was good, which was once I ran out of all the sort of main things, I started to dig a bit deeper and I came up with some gems. Although last night, my wife will tell you the opposite. I picked a film last night, which she didn't think was a gem at all.
What was that?
It's called Take Shelter, which is all about a guy. At first, the tagline or whatever it was about a guy building a shelter for to shield themselves from a storm, his wife and his deaf child. And I thought, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. And I heard it was very good. But really, it was a film about his descent into psychotic madness. Honestly, for a Friday night film, I'm going to be paying for that one for a while.
It's been like watching Schindler's List or something, you know.
Yeah, well, I just don't need films like that anymore. I don't need films with children dying, you know, anything about, you know, anything that just doesn't make me, I don't know.
You just don't want to over have misery, do you? Your Friday nights are...
Misery, yeah. You know. You're right, misery. I don't need misery.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I mean, the thing that I have to say about the foreign films, and has always been the case, is, and especially with the French films, is they don't allow Hollywood comfort blankets. You literally have no idea if they're going to kill. I've said about why The Wire, if anyone's out there has been watching, did watch The Wire, is when you started presuming that the main characters were going to be around forever, when you started presuming that such was going to happen and all the rest of it, it always kicked you up the arse, and they would start killing off Stringer Bell, and they'd start killing off, you know, I'm not going to tell who they kill off, because if people haven't seen it, it'll ruin a few, but they kill off some, and one of the main characters, who's one of the best characters in it, they kill him off in the, probably the most, but you want him to go out in a blaze of glory, and he doesn't. But anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about, you know, the films need to, they've got to stop following the kind of like the pattern of the, you know, it goes all along very nicely, and the guy goes through some sort of like problem or whatever, and then he comes out at the end of it, and there's a sort of figure that will guide him, an old man, and then it gets into that whole Star Wars story, kind of hero story thing.
Yeah.
I suppose we need to see the hero getting killed off quite early on, I think, and it going really left field.
Yeah, and we, you know, if they can pull off the left field sort of thing, you know, the thing is, you have to pull off the left field kind of thing. If they get it wrong, it's just lame, you know. But you know, you need to get it right. So Headhunters, that was definitely left field, and I enjoyed that, and I highly recommend it. Subtitles were a bit janky. Some of them they went a little bit weird, but overall, yeah, it was good. So I'll check out
Cell
211 then.
Yes, yeah, no, dude, that's another one that also goes very left field. It's a Spanish film, it's very good.
Okay.
Scores out of 10?
Yeah, I'll give that.
Headhunters?
Give it an 8.5.
Cool. Yeah, I'd probably go for an 8, yeah.
Yeah, 9 would be a little bit too generous. I thought in the middle it just went a little bit. At some point, I started to lose track of, you know, I felt that it didn't really know what it wanted to be somewhere around the middle, and it just shifted to suddenly being really weird, a little bit comedic, which is fine, you know. But yeah, 8.5.
Cool.
All right. And the perfect, and Take Shelter, which I watched last night, I'll give that a 5, and my wife gives it a 1. I'll vote on her behalf. He's not going to forgive me for that one.
I'm finding now with films that it's now the mark of sleeping. If I fall asleep during it, it just hasn't held my attention. I was watching a film with Guy Pearce last night with the missus. She stays awake, I don't, but he's basically a... I suppose if anybody knows any John Carpenter stuff, you know, Escape from New York and all those sort of films, he's trying to play a Snake Spilkskin kind of like character, and he can't pull it off. And he didn't pull it off when he was in Prometheus playing an old giffer. I kind of think, Guy, if anybody knows Guy Pearce, or anybody's been to Australia and is in Neighbours and knows Guy Pearce, you've got to tell him to start making some better choices, because he's gone from Memento, he's gone from his kind of groundbreaking sort of scene stealing in LA Confidential to utter dross. And this film where he's on some space station trying to save this president's daughter, it's just...
Yeah, okay, well, we'll still hold the candle for Guy Pearce. We still think he's great, though, right?
Yeah, we do. He seems like a nice guy.
Good, okay.
But he's making some bad film choices. cool.
Okay, so we're hit the hour mark.
Yep.
Should I start wrapping up?
Yes, mate.
Okay, so thank you for listening. Emails would be greatly appreciated if there's anything you wanted to get off your chest or for us to cover. Jeremy@transatlanticrants.com or Fraser@transatlanticrants.com. The website, www.transatlanticrants.com. I think that's going to get an overhaul at some point. We've been talking about that. You're going to get me more involved. We haven't done it yet, but I think we're going to...
Rubbish.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll work on that. Twitter, we're at transrants, if anybody has any interest in that at all. And that's it. We didn't get in, no emails to cover. Did you receive any emails?
You know, when there was nothing.
Oh, mate.
I know. It's just us just talking this stuff. If anybody's out there, just you don't say anything. You could just say, hello. And then we know that you might be listening. You don't have to feel that I'm going to come back at you with some sort of horribleness. Just just say hello.
Yeah. Well, there are people listening. I know that for a fact. So,
your mother.
I believe my mum's now listening. So, okay. All right. Well, we're at the hour. We're going to hit hour and four in a minute. It just seems to be the magic number. You're going on holiday. You're gone. So probably no episode next week.
Nope.
Okay. Well, have a good holiday.
Cheers.
And I'll catch you soon.
Excellent stuff.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Thanks very much, guys. I'll take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. TransitAtlanticRants.com. 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 Good.